Father, bless these words to our hearts and anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive, and give us something from you in Jesus' name. Turn with me, please, to Galatians chapter 1. And starting in verse 3, the Word of God says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace there is in the original language the word charis. It's a feminine noun from Cairo meaning to rejoice. Grace, particularly that which causes joy, this is what it means. Grace, particularly that which causes joy, pleasure, gratification, favor, acceptance for a kindness granted or desired. A benefit, thanks, and gratitude. I think it's interesting. Thanks and gratitude are involved in grace. A favor done without expectation of return, the absolutely free expression of the loving kindness of God to men, finding its only motive in the bounty and benevolence of the giver. Unearned and unmerited divine favor. Charis stands in direct antithesis to erga, which is works. This is reading from Robertson now, before it was from Zodiades. Charis stands in direct antithesis to erga, works, the two being mutually exclusive. The two being mutually exclusive. You cannot have grace and works. That's why Paul said it is either of grace or it is of works. God's grace affects man's sinfulness and not only forgives the repentant sinner, but brings joy and thankfulness to him. It changes the individual to a new creature without destroying his individuality. I love the fact that God makes me a brand new creature without destroying my individuality. This is why, for example, you can be so godly and still possess such a deep love and gift in music or singing or whatever your gifts may be, and yet very godly. Because God produces His character in us, but does not take away from us that which makes us individuals. That which makes us unique. We're not automatons. We have the grace of God. That does not make me an automaton. That makes me a unique portion in the body of Christ that only I can fulfill in that body. And nobody else can ever take that spot of the believer and their portion in the body of Christ. And without that portion in the body of Christ, the body has that portion no more. Every time a believer leaves the body of Christ in backslidden state, the body is robbed of that person's portion. Why? Because God did not take away our individuality. He produced grace in us. Grace be to you and peace. Grace be to you and peace. Peace is irene, and it is the opposite of war and dissension. It's a peace of mind, tranquility arising from the reconciliation with God and a sense of divine favor. It's the opposite of war. How is it that some people have battles inside their hearts between the human spirit and their old sin nature? Between the interests of the Holy Spirit in that person's life and the interest of this old sin nature in that person's life. And they continually clash and they produce conflict within that person's soul. Usually comes out in their emotions. Not everybody who has an emotional thing going on has this, but when this happens, it frequently comes out in their emotions. Why is it that some people have perfect peace, and even though there is perhaps the strongest of opposition to them, perhaps they are under tremendous attack or oppression or some kind of persecution, or maybe they are under tremendous trial and stress, and yet they possess peace in their heart, a tranquility and a peace of mind. How is it? Something has been produced in their heart. It is grace that led to peace. From God the Father and our Lord. And our Lord, Kyrion. It's a masculine noun, genitive form of possession. Our Lord. Not the Lord. Our Lord. Do you understand what this is saying? It's a personal thing. Paul said, I have a personal Lord who gave Himself for our sins. Gave, dontos. Aorist active participle, genitive case of possession of didomai. Aorist, it was done once and for all in the past. Active voice, He produced the giving. It was His decision. He produced the giving. Genitive case of possession. I do the receiving. And the word means to give of one's own accord and goodwill. He gives me this government. He gives me of this government. And the fruit that that government has in my life, the fruit of grace is not love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of grace is peace. You understand that? The fruit of grace is peace. So because I'm under this complete government of total favor, regardless of the situation or circumstance that I find myself in, this is a government of complete favor toward me. It will produce, as I receive from that government, a peace that passes understanding. How is it that some believers learn devastating news or are in extraordinarily difficult trials, and yet they have complete peace? Because they are functioning and receiving what it means to be in the operational government of grace. In other words, their lives on a daily level, detail by detail, are receiving from that government, from unmerited favor. You know what? It's not your failure that will take you out of grace. Your failure can never take you out of grace. Do you know why? Because where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Your failure cannot take you out of grace. It is like saying, I am an American citizen and I stole something and now I'm in prison and I am no longer an American citizen. That doesn't happen. Even in jail, they are still American citizens. Even if I refuse to get right with God after He convicts me and He has to discipline me, I'm still under the government of grace. That government is that which has initiated a discipline process in my life when it comes to bring me into a place where I will receive the fullness of its benefits again. That's the only reason why I get chastised, if I ever do, so that I will go back to receiving the fullness of the benefits of God's government. When I go into sin, I turn my back on the benefits of God's government and I turn to the world on the things which will destroy me. And God says, no, I'm going to bring you back into my government so that you may receive its benefits rather than death in the world. Or in the flesh. Or whatever it happens to be. And He delivered us from this present evil world. He took us out of it. And it was by that government, it was the action of that government that took me out of the world. 1 Timothy 1:9, the Word of God says, who hath saved us, again, the original meaning there means delivered, right? Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, that according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Before the world began. Do you understand this? Who had saved, Sosantos, aorist active participle, again, done once and for all in the past, He did the saving. With the genitive case of separation this time. That means He saved me out from the world. Out from worldliness. Out from ungodliness. Out from the nasty effects the world has on the person's heart and their soul. The person who lives in the world has a destroyed soul. This is why there is so much pain in the world. This is why the best the world can do is try to find some self-help program to pretty up the flesh so they can sublimate their way out of the fact that they are unsatisfied, that they are unfulfilled and unhappy in the world. God has removed us, taken out of that, us out of that, and it was by the action of His government. It's like the government sends the military, and the military rescues someone. Right? There's almost like a military action towards the believer to rescue the believer out of the world. The person who will respond to God is rescued out of the world. It's like at the beginning of the Iraqi war, that private Jessica Lynch, she was taken by the enemy in Iraq. You remember that? And what happened? The Marines came and they rescued her. They found her, they located her, they went over there, they grabbed her, they carried her because she was injured, and they put her on a helicopter and they rescued her and they took her to safety. And this is what God does for us. He finds us, He knows us, He finds us, He goes after us, He continues going after us. He'll fight against the enemy to protect us, because there was a firefight in her rescue, I believe, right? He protects us, there's a fight, and He needs to fight for us, and He will fight for us, and He'll send people to fight for us. And He finds us, and He rescues us, and He carries us, and He puts us in His arms, and He carries us to safety. This is how God operates toward us. He has saved us. To save, deliver, make whole. To preserve safe from danger, loss, or destruction. This is what the world offers. Danger, loss, and destruction. And He came and got us from that. And called. Kalisantes. Right? Called us with a holy calling. Called is Kalisantos. It's an aorist active participle. To call to someone in order that he may come or go somewhere. Particularly with the voice as a shepherd calls his flock. And that phrase there, called with a holy calling, is kalisantos klesi hagiai. And the calling there, that word there is in the dative, and that marks the recipient of an action. So that is saying it is an action on our behalf, towards us. And it's to a holy calling. And Robertson says, Clace is here apparently not the invitation, but the consecrated service, the upward calling. You have a calling from heaven. And it is a calling within a government that is a heavenly government where Christ is the ruler. And it is a calling specifically for you. God says, I have a specific calling and purpose for you. And this is why I gave you the heavenly calling, because I have a specific calling and purpose for you. It's an upward calling. It's a calling from heaven. People think that their calling is always horizontal, and certainly it may have many aspects of it that are horizontal as God sheds the love abroad from our hearts to other people. And we win other people by it, and He's glorified by it. But it's heaven's calling. It's heaven's calling. Do you get it? You have a calling from heaven. Not according, kata, down from, not because, down from, out of your own works. Works there is erga, works, performance, the result or object of employment, labor, making or working. not because of what you're able to produce, not because what you're able to do, not because you're good enough, not because you're just so, not because you act this way, but because there's a heavenly call according to His own purpose. And that's prostesin, and it means purpose or plan, a setting forth, presentation, and exposition, determination, plan, or will. Heaven has a plan and a will for your life, and you are called by heaven to enter into that plan and will for your life. It's heaven's call. It's going to be bigger than you. But that's okay. You're under a government. No one Marine does the job in the battle. Right, to rescue someone. No one soldier goes to war and wins the war. An army goes, or a platoon goes. God's government goes. On our behalf, it acts, and it sends the resources that we need to sustain us in our call. It does it for us. Private Lynch didn't rescue herself. She was rescued by others. We don't rescue ourselves. We don't give ourselves the call. We don't produce the call ourselves. It is produced for us by others, by God. By His calling, by His sovereignty, by His grace, by His mercy, by His faithfulness, by His power and His strength, it is produced for us. He orchestrates it for us. Angels come and help us and work on our behalf. Other believers come and they encourage us, and it is produced for us. According to His own purpose and grace and His government. That which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Prochronon aeonion. Before time's eternal. That's what it says. Before time's eternal. Before the world again. Out of eternity. Out of eternity. God gave me a call. Out of eternity. God gave a plan. A promise. A vision. Out of eternity. God gave a purpose. Out of eternity. Do you realize what that means? That time and my experience of time is subject to that which God had determined out of eternity and initiates from eternity into time toward me. That's the call. Do you realize the unbelievable value and majesty and beauty of your calling? It came out of eternity as a part and an action of God's government. What is it there for? It is there to promote the kingdom. It is there to steal souls out of hell. It is there so God can be produced in a man. The high and holy calling. And it is for me out of eternity before the world began, before time, into time, through time, back into eternity. This is the calling. This is the calling. And it was initiated toward each believer by a government that does it, produces it for them. It's not by works. Romans 11:6, it's not by works. It's by grace. I don't have to earn the call. It's given to me. In fact, I cannot earn the call. It's given to me by a government. In Luke 17, starting in verse 20, I'm going to start in the second part of the verse. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. You see, the Pharisees said the kingdom of God is going to be external, but it's not. You know where the kingdom of God is? You know where grace is? You know where that government is? It's in the heart of the believer. This is why you can't see it. It's not an external kingdom. It's a powerful kingdom. It is the most powerful, tangibly powerful government on earth. For example, when the Egyptians went against the Israelites in the desert in 67, what happened? The government took over. Oh, Egypt thought they were going to go to war against another little country. They were going to war against a government that was far greater than anything you could find on this planet. They were going to war against God's government and God's faithfulness to His promise to His children. And when Israel was going to be defeated because they did not have what it took to win that war, angels came. That was the government of God working on the behalf of those who were not even necessarily saved, but had a promise. God is good to His promises. Israel today rejects the Savior by and large. They rejected Christ. But God had given them a promise, and that was what is the operational motivation of that government. And so the government called favor down in the form of angels to go rescue those who didn't even believe in Him anymore, but are recipients and possessors of a promise from God given almost 4,000 years ago. Tell me if God's going to give up on His promises, His calling, His faithfulness. And the angels came and the Egyptians got out of their tanks and they ran away because they were terrified when they saw the angels. Israel wouldn't lose. Still won't lose. They have a promise. You can't lose. Whatever it is in your life, God's going to be faithful to you. You can't lose. Do you get this? You can't lose. He loved them too much because He gave them a promise and His love was based in His character, not their response. And He rescued them. You see, it's a government of the heart, but it has a real, practical, tangible application. It's a real, practical, tangible government. And the authority is real and even temporal. This is why Philip got translated. That was a temporal event as a result of a government. These aren't just Bible stories, nice lessons. This is history. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. It's not in what you do. It's not in how good you are. It's not how well you've earned it. It's not in the fact that you've never wavered. You know what it comes in? It comes in your heart. It's a government present, and it's an external government that's rescued you, brought you into that government, and then entered into your heart. Christ said, "I am in you, and you are in me." Matthew 23:13. "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." What is this talking about? Telling people by law that they have to do some things to be recipients of His favor, to be recipients of His grace, to be recipients of His calling, to be recipients of His promises, to be recipients of answered prayer, to be recipients of His faithfulness, to be recipients of His loving kindness. No, it is not by any external performance. It is because a government has selected me. And that is the only reason. Why? Why would the government select me? Because I'm the beloved of God. But I'm not good enough to be the beloved of God. No, you don't understand. It has nothing to do with you. You're the beloved of God. If a person has a child, they don't stop loving the child just because the child doesn't always know how to do things, how to operate. So just because the child doesn't always know how to not misbehave, just because the child doesn't always know how to go about things, how to handle things. No. Love takes over. Love takes over. And we enter into a government. Do you realize that once you enter into that government, once you start receiving from that government, a lot of people fight the government. Because there's something in themselves that they're trying to produce, something like maybe not trusting. So they want to produce, they want sight to be preserved. Something like reacting, being afraid, where they don't know God's love towards them, where they don't know that the things He gives to them are there because He loves them and because they're going to build them and bless them out of their orbits. And so they resist the government, and this is where difficulty comes. This is where trials, this is where things get confusing or complex, and this is where the emotions go a little bit nutty from time to time. But great peace have they that love thy word, and it's grace and peace that I'm called into. A government that has a fruit, and I submit to that government, I yield to that government, I become a submitted believer, not a committed believer, but a submitted believer, and I yield to that government, and that government produces perfect peace for me. Why? Because I realize that it's a government that's working on my behalf, and I can stop worrying. I can stop being anxious. I can stop fretting. I can stop disbelieving. I can stop any of those things that the flesh normally does in all of us. And I can simply relax and say, oh, there's an entire government that's on my behalf. Can you imagine? You're a kid. You're a kid in school, and the biggest, nastiest school bully is about to beat you up. And you're very nervous. Some of you have been there. You're very nervous. Can you imagine this? Like, picture this in your mind. You're twice your size, lot bigger, lot nastier. You're just this nice little kid. Lot bigger, lot nastier. And the school bully's about to beat you up. And you're like, oh, I'm going to get it. And can you know the fear that wells up, and the anxiety and the nervousness and the apprehension and the dread? And out comes the United States Army standing right behind you. You get all these A1 tanks pointing at the nasty little bully. And I say, okay, sucker, try it. That's the government. That's the government. Do you get it? The government is working on your behalf. It's called grace. That's the government. For by grace are you saved, through faith. How do I enter into that government as it enters into me? How do I enter into that peace? How do I enter into the practical benefit in my heart of that government? Faith. Faith. I can't see it, but it's there. But I can't see it, but it's there. The Egyptian military could not see the angels until it was time and they were in the battlefield. But they were there. And God came through exactly at the right time. God is never late. He'll wait long enough to produce His character in you, but He is never late. And when God says now, it's now. That when it pleased God in Galatians 1:15, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. Do you realize it pleased Him? And He called me from my mother's womb. I was still in the womb, and I have a full, complete plan for my life, and I am called into grace. Into that government, unto the full benefits of that government. I'm protected even when I'm a child. Even before I was born, I was protected by God. I was in His government. And He called us into grace, into the grace of Christ. We are called to be there. He calls us into this grace. He calls us. And finally in 1 Peter 5:10, by the God of all grace, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, and He settles you. Don't be afraid of a trial. You're in a government. All the resources of heaven that created earth with a word are on your side, operating on your behalf. You are in a government, and the Lord Christ Himself, who died for you, is on the seat of that throne. Be confident. Have peace and be confident. You can be confident, and that confidence will produce perfect peace in your heart, whatever it is. Be confident in God and His faithfulness and His righteousness and His goodness toward you and His mercy toward you, and the fact that He'll always be faithful to you. That not one of His promises toward you will fall to the ground. You've got thousands and thousands and thousands of them, and not one will fall to the ground. Because Christ is on the throne of a government operating on your behalf. Amen.